Hey, everybody. Welcome to this very special episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. With us today is a friend of mine, an American patriot, and someone who has been fighting very hard for all things that are good and true and beautiful, Laura Ingraham from, of course, Fox News and many other incredible things that Laura has done, including speechwriter for Reagan in the 80s and clerking for the great Clarence Thomas and so much more. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Laura, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, I was just a little peon in the Reagan administration. I was like a junior domestic policy speechwriter, but it was in the Reagan administration. And I was even younger than you, Charlie, if you can believe it. That's a long time ago.
Well, I mentioned it for a reason, because you have been in the conservative movement to see and to see what's been happening with how sometimes conservatives try to pander to the media, and how the media will only say something favorable about a conservative if they're willing to attack other conservatives, which kind of goes to your open or some of your comments yesterday that I saw about George W. Bush's 9/11 speech. I thought that was a really profound take. Can you help build that out for our audience?
Yeah, well, so the 20th anniversary of September 11th, so important, so emotional, so meaningful for all of America. And Biden didn't speak live. Clinton didn't speak live. Obama didn't speak. But it was very interesting that the only former president who gave a live address was George W. Bush, who got most of the plaudits for attacking conservatives, mm-hmm. kind of cloaked in this swelled, you know, the foreign threats and domestic threats, and I'm paraphrasing, are equally, you know, disturbing and dangerous for our nation, and we must confront them. They're of the same foul spirit as what happened on 9/11. Now, I mean, why have Biden? You don't need Biden to speak. You got Bush to speak and have the message resonate, not just across the country, but around the world on that profound day. And I'd like to say it surprised me, but it really didn't. I was very friendly with President Bush. I personally have always liked him, but I don't like what his policies did to America. And this, again, is someone who voted for him twice, supported him. I supported the war in Iraq. I ultimately changed my mind on that in 2007 or so, 2006, after I was there for, you know, a very short period of time, about a week, marinating in what the soldiers had told me there. Took me a while, but I finally got there to, like, okay, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing there? And how are we possibly going to declare victory when victory really isn't even the metrics for victory, much like we're seeing now with COVID, aren't really established. So the concern about internationalism and globalism and open borders and China and the World Trade Organization, all of this came together to have Republicans lose the House, the Senate, and the presidency by the end of the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. It was a wipeout of Republican Party, because, frankly, independents, Charlie, said, we're done. Republicans hated these wars, and we had the housing crisis, the housing bubble burst. The internet bubble was in 2001 under Bush, 9/11, and basically flat wages for the whole time for the middle class. So look, it didn't work. It's not personal with the Bushes. It's just their policies didn't work, and the party roundly rejected them. Roundly. The Tea Party came along, took the party back. Then, of course, you know, Romney kind of played both Thurston Howell III and tried to be like tough on China. That didn't work. And then, you know, Trump came along, and now we're seeing that they have to kill off as much as they can of populist conservatism, nationalist, populist, I think more Reagan-like conservatism. Yes. That's what they're trying to do now.
So Laura, maybe you can help me understand, what is it in particular that Bush and the ruling class hates the most about kind of this new populist nationalist movement that is multiracial and it is kind of more of an emphasis on middle class workers, something you were talking about well before Trump came onto the scene? Kind of one way it's described is that, well, the Bushes, they are heavily invested in corporate interests, or that they have a more global mindset. What is it that kind of the Bush, the Romney, the Billy Crystals, like those people find such great exception? Because it's not just style. We now know that, right, Laura? Because they always are like, oh, yeah, it's because Trump's style. He's all these things. We always saw through that. Yeah. So what is it in particular that really that they find to be so disgusting?
Well, I think the more power to the people, the less power for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the average person is happy and going to football games and able to, you know, put money away and go on vacations, and I mean, they don't need the government.
Yes.
They don't need big government. They're happy with their own lives. I truly believe these are, for the most part, post-American leaders. I don't know what Bush is thinking, or maybe it's more of a family tradition. They're more internationalist than they are America focused, maybe, or they view that America's role in the world is to try to nurture other countries and remake them if possible, and free trade and free flow of goods and people across borders is all just, you know, one big kumbaya moment. Well, maybe he thinks that. It obviously isn't, because it doesn't work for the middle class. But for people like Obama and Clinton, and obviously with Biden, think about it. They all came into office without a lot of money. I mean, comparatively to the rest of the country. Now, Clinton had literally no money. Biden, the only money Biden has ever made is because of, you know, his position in government. And obviously his son, business gets billions from China, and suddenly we're supposed to not think Biden's in the back pocket of China. And then, of course, Obama came into office, I think, with less than $1 million, and now is worth like $250 million. How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Trump lost money when he was in office. They all became extremely, extremely wealthy by being open to China, by being globalist in outlook, and by not being one of the unwashed populist masses. I mean, it's a lot harder to be just a regular conservative that doesn't compromise every, you know, 5 minutes. It's, when I say harder, it's if you care about affirmation from the elites, if you care about making money in elite circles, Charlie, like, I'm not going to get invited to go on a junket to Europe with the Chamber of Commerce for a reason. You know, now ask me if I care. I don't care, but a lot of other people do. And I'm not saying that's the sole motivation. I think a lot of it's just political and knee-jerk. But I do think a lot of them believe that America's pretty much done. I mean, China's going to eclipse us in the next 5 to 10 years, especially if Biden's policies continue. And then, to me, the question is, how does America remain independent and free? When that's the dynamic around the world, how do we stay an independent country? We see what's going to happen. We see what's happened to Hong Kong. We see what's about to happen to Taiwan. Australia and New Zealand are poised for big problems vis-a-vis China. But, you know, is there a slow rolling surrender underway? where the elites are going to be taken care of, because they always are in this situation. I mean, yes. They'll be paid off. They'll be, I mean, I know it sounds very conspiratorial, but I don't even know if they think about it that way, but I think that's the reality of what we're seeing play out. These aren't dumb people. They're not dumb. They see that China's gobbling up resources, land, commercial real estate, residential real estate, cutting deals all over the world, rare earth materials, moving through soon Afghanistan to get whatever leverage they can there. And they haven't gotten involved in any of these stupid wars over the last, 20 years. None. But we've made them really rich.
That's right. And the American ruling class is perfectly positioned to all of a sudden become a globalist ruling class. There's almost no loyalty at all to the nation. And you're right. They'll be able to move geographically or move their assets. And America to them is not their home. It's just a temporary colony. Are you still going to the post office, still paying full postage? Well, thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to anymore. Mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com saves businesses thousands of hours and tons of money every single year. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. It's a must-have for any business. Stamps.com can handle all this with ease. No wonder over 1 million businesses choose Stamps.com for their mailing and shipping. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com. Stop wasting your time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with my promo code CHARLIE, you get a special offer that includes 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in CHARLIE. That's Stamps.com, promo code CHARLIE. So kind of speaking about China and how China has attacked us through what some would call a biological weapon, otherwise known as the Fauci virus. You know, Laura, I just want to say, since the very beginning, you were probably the best of anyone I could think of covering what was really happening with this virus, alternative treatments, and you were attacked relentlessly. And you've been on top of the vaccine, and you've really inspired me to speak out on this as well. I've said publicly I'm not getting vaccinated, which of course puts you in a whole different category of attack in the eyes of the mainstream media. And we get so many emails, Laura, from people that are saying that I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my livelihood if I don't get vaccinated. What is your wisdom for those people? Because people really are now seeing their livelihoods be put in jeopardy.
Yeah, there's a COVID caste system that is being established by the same elites who have no problem inviting hundreds of thousands of Chinese interests into our country every year in the way of, university connections, businesses, and so forth. So the goal, I think, is to, and when I say the goal, I mean, the global elites have learned a lot from our experience here in the United States and around the world. The same people who run the World Economic Forum, the George Soros, Bill Gates, crowd, they're probably actually shocked at how compliant the American public
has been with
all of this. I mean, I keep saying, like, where's the manifest destiny spirit? Where's the American exceptionalism? Like, where's this idea that, we're common sense? We're free because we're free. We're not free because Anthony Fauci says we're free. We're free because we are given God, we're endowed by our creator by these inalienable rights that don't distinguish between when a big box store can open and when a church can open.
Yes.
So I think people have to look, I always say people have to make their own decision. I'm not an anti-vaccine person, and I don't say that to try to protect myself from criticism. I'm criticized morning and night, and I don't care. But I think we have to be very candid with the American people about this virus, period. That it's with us. It's going to be with us. It's obviously endemic to our society. You can never get to zero. They've constantly changed and moved the goalposts. We can't rely on them to tell us the truth. When they can't be truthful about acquired immunity, natural immunity through prior exposure, when they're not being truthful about that, then I don't trust them, frankly, about most things.
Yes.
And I'm not looking to distrust anybody, but I feel like over the last 19 months, I feel like I'm very proud of the Ingram Angles coverage, because I've forced myself to learn a whole new world that I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd learn. I'm not saying I'm an immunologist, but I'm just saying I think I've gotten fairly conversant on the basics of immunology, just the basics and how a good experiment is done and how a lame experiment is done, how consensus doesn't really ever exist on most science. It takes years and years and years and years for a real consensus to develop over a long period of time. And also the financial interests, which killed off things like hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
Which was just a complete outrage. I mean, I have one of the most brilliant minds on infectious disease treatment, whose father was a pioneer in the AIDS research with Fauci, Stephen Smith. And Stephen Smith said he thinks 100,000 lives could have been saved.
Yes.
In the United States, at least with early interventions with the antiviral known as hydroxychloroquine. So we saw what they did to that, right? I mean, that was that was just a hit and run by the media and Fauci.
That's right.
Now, why is he trying to demonize American physicians who are seeing actual results? See, he doesn't treat COVID patients. He talks about COVID patients. I actually interview doctors who treat them and have treated hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. So with all due respect to Dr. Fauci, I'm not saying he's a dumb person. He's obviously not a dumb person. But I think there's an enormous amount of wisdom in practiced medicine. And for some reason, they have wanted to destroy the independence of the family practitioner and the infectious disease specialists and other doctors treating physicians across this country. They've threatened them. They've tried to revoke their hospital privileges. They've told them what they can prescribe to their patients when it comes to antivirals and other therapeutics that have virtually zero side effects for most Americans.
Yes.
Now, why? Why have if it's really about COVID, why did they do that? Why are they leaving the southern border open? I'm not saying Fauci, but the administration. Why are refugees being sent all over the country, many of whom have, now we find out, have measles and others who are infected with COVID? Like, what is really going on here? And we're wondering why a lot of Americans don't trust this vaccine. Look at the track record of the people who brought us the vaccine.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And actually, we got kicked off Twitter for quoting Stephen Smith, who I think was on your show, about hydroxychloroquine.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. And it was just – we quoted it and we got kicked off Twitter. And that's that kind of drive-by shooting from the media and from the corporate oligarchy and big tech. So we've been talking about ivermectin on our show. And it's the same thing, same sort of thing where they don't want any sort of this treatment coverage. So Charlie Kirk here, and I've warned you about home title theft, where cyber thieves remove you from your home's title and become the owner. I said you better get home title locked because it's coming. Well, if you're on Facebook, that big breach is here. Facebook had 500 million accounts exposed to cyber thieves. And according to a retired FBI cybercrime expert, everything thieves need to take over as the new owner of your home was leaked. Name, address, personal information, it's out there. The thief forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. He'll leave you in debt or he'll even have you evicted. Do what I did and protect your home's title with Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection during this high-risk breach. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection. Again, HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. So, Laura, what do you say then for someone who's about to lose their job and they want to take a stand? You know, there's not much that could be said other than, you know, stand for your beliefs. You'll be blessed in the long run. You know, welcome to the fight.
Well,
but maybe just some encouragement would
hard.
Be great.
It's hard because there are a lot of people who can't. I just talking to a nurse this morning who just took the second vaccine and she feels terrible. She's not having a wildly bad reaction. She just feels really yucky.
Yes.
And that's we've heard a lot of people feel really yucky. Some people feel fine and have no problems. but she just feels really yucky. And I said, well, how yucky? She said, I feel like I don't want to get out of bed. I can't get out of bed. I'm sure I'll be fine. But then she said, but I feel really yucky because they made me do this. And I did not want to do this. She
That's
said,
right.
I feel disgusted. It is a direct quote. I feel disgusted that this is the country I live in, but it's not the country I grew up in. She's 43 years old from wow. Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah. And there are a lot of people, but she said, Laura, I'm divorced. I have three children, two in college, one in high school. I have to support my family. I can't work from home. When they condescendingly the other day, I don't know if it was one of the cabinet members, Biden's cabinet members, I can't remember which one, said, oh, people can work from home. They can homeschool their kids if they don't want their kids to be vaccinated. They can work from home if they don't want to do the vaccine for their company. I'm thinking, how condescending. Just because some, you know, professional elites and the media and Wall Street and high tech can work from home, I can tell you who's not working from home. The grocery store clerks or the, you know, a lot of the pilots who are flying planes. I'm hearing from them as well, by the way. The flight attendants, they can't work from home. They fly. Okay. Now they're threatening, flying.
Yes.
Like passengers are going to have a COVID vaccine. So look, I don't know what to say. I'm not trying to be coy here. I don't know what to say because, I mean, people have to support their families.
Yeah.
But they certainly should vote out anyone who's pushed these mandates.
Well, and that's my other question. And Laura, you've been phenomenal on this, which is where's the opposition party? I've been texting some senators and they say, yeah, you know, we've been pressuring this person, that person. Where is the outrage? Their voters, or just forget their voters, just Americans are being crushed by this multi-institutional oligarchy of government and private business. I have not seen the backlash from the Republican Party that I would want to see for this. I mean, I've seen some lawsuits here and there, but nothing even close to what I would have expected. That is not a good sign for the next iteration when they try to take weapons away from us, they try to vaccinate children. Am I missing something here, or is it just that most
I completely agree with you, and I am perpetually underwhelmed by the GOP. I mean, it seems to me that we kind of saw what they were made of, not all of them, but enough when they went along with that bogus infrastructure deal with the Democrats, which helped pave the way for the discussion about the $3.5 trillion.
Yes.
So they decided in the middle of an inflationary storm that we're facing, with $29 trillion now in debt and counting, it looks like it'll be $3 trillion by the end of the year. We're adding to our debt, or our budget deficit will be $3 trillion by the end of the year. I mean, they decide that we got to spend a teeny tiny bit on infrastructure and a bunch of other crap.
Yes.
I mean, that Senator Cassidy from Louisiana came on my show and was so condescending to me. And I don't care because,
I agree.
It doesn't bother me.
He totally was. I completely
agree. Yeah, he's like laughing at me. He's like, oh, no, we're going to shut this other spending bill down. This is a really great bill, Laura. And I looked at him and I said, gosh, I've never seen you as animated when you're arguing with a Democrat. Why is that? They only get animated like Bush when they're going up against conservatives.
That's right.
They never really take the fight to the Democrats. That's why Bush has been mute on everything from Benghazi to Obamacare to the 12 dead in Afghanistan. Where was Bush when we needed him last summer when the whole country was burning? Never heard from him then.
I totally agree. And if the base of the country, the regular man, has no party to represent them, then the whole country falls apart. Because we know who represents the permanent government class and the activist class. We know who represents the ruling class. But, I mean, you get these same messages I get, Laura. You just talked about one where it's just normal people that are earning $65,000 a year and have two kids. And they've really never cared that much about politics. But all of a sudden now politics is caring about them. And they're like, wait a second. You know, who's here to defend me? And we're kind of like, yeah, sorry. We don't have a party for that in our country anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just so sad. Well, it's so tragic.
I do think we've had some great governors step up. Obviously, DeSantis has been great.
Yes.
I think some others have been really strong. Pete Ricketts in Nebraska, Tate Reeves in Mississippi, Billy in Tennessee, Kristi Noem in South Dakota, Greg Abbott's been pretty good as well against these mandates. So, look, I mean, holding on to our freedom and our independence in the face of China and a government, a bipartisan group of government cooperators, it's not going to be easy. But all we can do is continue to fight, and all we can do is continue to vote. And I just refuse to kind of sit back and say, oh, woe is me. There's nothing we can do about this. I mean, look, we have an enormous number of people on our side, and I think a growing coalition of diverse people on our side who don't like this, don't trust it, and see what's happening to the country. But we're not well funded compared to the, all you have to look is Gavin Newsom versus Larry Elder. Newsom has what, $70 million to spend?
Yep. And,
Larry Elder has eight. So.
Listen up, everybody. We are just weeks away from yet another American travesty, one that could lead our country even further down the road to tyranny. I'm talking, of course, about court packing, the far left's radical plan to rig our entire federal judiciary system by adding four liberal justices to the Supreme Court and completely destroying the constitutional rule of law in our country as we know it. Thankfully, my friends at First Liberty Institute, a national nonprofit law firm, are taking a stand. They've written a letter telling the Biden Commission to reject this brazen court packing scheme. And now prominent leaders, plus over 100,000 patriots like you, have joined their coalition. Franklin Graham, former Attorney General Ed Meese, Dr. Dobson, plus organizations like the American Policy Association, Concerned Women for America, are all on board. Now it's up to you. Sign your name right now next to these leaders by September 15th. Go to supremecoup.com. That's supremecoup.com right now. They're trying to pack the Supreme Court. My friend Kelly Shackelford runs this amazing organization. So do me a favor, check it out, sign it. It's free of charge, supremecoup.com. So in closing, I also want to plug Laura's amazing podcast. It's quakemedia.com/Laura. That's quakemedia.com/Laura if you guys are interested in getting Laura's podcast, which you have some wonderful guests on. You just had Nigel Farage and Rick Grenell on, which I encourage people to look at. Last question here, Laura, with some breaking news with Mark Milley, who it has now come out to show that he was probably illegally doing some meetings with fellow generals to try to undercut President Trump. How do we take this?
He should be relieved of his command immediately. His behavior, his actions, and I have no reason to doubt what's reported in that book is not true, given his conduct recently. There is now no doubt that he is unfit to serve as chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He should immediately be relieved of his command, and frankly, he should be pursued in military court for court-martial. This is the insurrection.
Yes.
You want to know what an insurrection is? You get a guy with tens of billions of dollars in weaponry in a Pentagon budget behind him, conspiring against the commander in chief elected by the United States of America. That's the insurrection. And apparently he called China and warned his Chinese counterpart that if a war began, we have it under control. I'm paraphrasing, but
incredible.
So he called his Chinese counterpart instead of talking to the Speaker of the House and the Senate Majority Leader together. Like, he had real concerns, but he went to China to share them about the U.S. government. And what do you think that does to our national security? I mean, the man is an absolute train wreck. He has failed at in every military conflict. These generals have not won a war outright in 77 years or 76 years. And we're supposed to be lectured by them on the cultural issues or white rage or critical race theory or all this blame shifting about what happened during the election or January 6th or any of it. How about win a freaking war with all the money that we've sent you? How about give some decent advice and abide by what the president instructs you to do as the commander in chief, namely pull our troops out of Afghanistan in a responsible way and deploy our personnel who are brave and courageous to areas around the world that are true threats to American security.
Yes.
So he absolutely, I detest what he has done. He and many others like him, what they have done to the U.S. military and how they have recklessly flouted our Constitution and the chain of command. At the same time, castigating the average American supporter of Donald Trump. I have no words. I have no words for him except you're fired in my book.
Not to mention implementing CRT and wokeism into the military and defending it and saying that the greatest threat is white rage.
Well, white rage is, you know, he should go teach at a university. He'll be welcome there with open arms.
That's right. Quakemedia.com/Laura. And of course, every single night at 10 p.m., Laura Ingraham and amazing wisdom. And I just want to say, everyone listening, that you have a great advocate here in Laura when it comes to the vaccine mandates and fighting for your children, because I'm afraid it's only going to get more intense and the stakes are only going to get higher as we proceed. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today, and we love watching you.
Charlie, great to be on with you. Congrats on all your success, and I'm so excited about your marriage.
Thank you.
You're starting a whole new chapter of your life, which is the most important thing. So I can't wait to see your career as it evolves and your life as it evolves. You're a great person and a terrific friend on top of all the other brilliant stuff you do.
Thank you. God bless you, Laura. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
All right. Lots of love.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. More coming up soon. God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.